One of the hardest things about living in New York is being able to afford living in New York. And part of that cost comes from property taxes. New York City's property tax system is unusually complex, with inequities that benefit some property owners over others. As WNYC's Jessica Gould reports, a lawsuit now alleges it's also discriminatory.
To understand today's property tax system, let's take a trip back in time, where the ideal of home ownership runs through American history like a white picket fence.
For in the hopes and dreams of everyone, there's a home they can call their own.
Like in this 1947 ad about Levittown.
Home brings a sense of security to a man.
Back then, the GI Bill made owning a home easier than ever, and new highways acted like conveyor belts from urban centers to suburban developments. This preference for home ownership was reflected in the city's property taxes as well.
There was a concern that particularly in the middle of the 20th century, as the city was going through very large social changes, that it was important to let the city continue to be attractive to middle-class homeowners.
George Sweeting of the city's independent budget office says the breaks for homeowners have continued, even as the system became increasingly complicated, with varying assessment values, tax rates, caps, and abatements.
It's incredibly complex and is so convoluted and opaque that it's very hard for anybody to know if they're paying the right tax.
Now, two New Yorkers are challenging one key piece of that intricate system, how it treats rental properties. Meet
Rosa Rodriguez
and
Ernest Robinson.
These two renters are suing the city, saying the property tax system is discriminatory.
The injustice stirs feelings in you. It makes you angry. It's very frustrating because it's hard already.
It's something a lot of New Yorkers have no idea about, and if they truly knew, we would have a full-scale riot on our hands.
Now, renters don't pay property taxes, not directly, but experts estimate that a portion of tenants' rent goes to pay their buildings' taxes. And owners of bigger rental buildings, like the ones Robinson and Rodriguez live in, pay proportionately more than the ones that are owner-occupied. Attorney Randolph McLaughlin with the firm Newman Ferrara says there's also another difference.
When you look at the demographics of co-ops and condos, those owners are predominantly white, and renters in buildings 11 or more units are predominantly black and Hispanic.
McLaughlin is representing Robinson, who's black, and Rodriguez, who's Hispanic, in their suit. The case was spurred, in part, by a study from the Furman Center at NYU, which found that the city's quirky assessment process undervalues condos and co-ops. Jessica Yeager is the center's policy director.
There were actually 50 single co-op units that sold for more than the city's valuation of the entire building in which they were located.
Here's why. Rental buildings are assessed according to how much income they generate in rent. But condos and co-ops don't charge rent, so for tax purposes, the city compares them to buildings that do. The thing is, those comps often aren't comparable at all. For example, take the famous Dakota Co-op building on Central Park West. It's compared to a red brick building on West 70th. Nice enough, but no park view and certainly no Dakota. Yeager says that results in rental properties getting stuck with a larger share of the total tax burden.
Because of the property tax treatment that disfavors rental housing, it means that we see less rental housing in a city where we have a critical need for rental housing and for affordable rental housing.
Attorney McLaughlin says it's an issue that goes right to the heart of Mayor de Blasio's pledge to address inequality and affordability in the city.
I think that if the mayor is consistent with his campaign promises and with his slogans, then he needs to join us in this campaign.
And the mayor says he is looking into it. But any major change to the city's property tax system would require approval from the state legislature.
But first, we have to come to an analysis of what is going on and what's a better way to approach it. And then when we feel we're on that firm ground, then we'll start discussions with Albany.
Property taxes are the city's largest and most stable revenue source. So lowering them for rentals could take a big bite out of the budget, which is already facing billion-dollar deficits over the next few years. Of course, homeowners could pay more to even things out. But Charles Brescher of the Citizens Budget Commission says that would be unpopular.
Property tax bills are much more visible for homeowners. They either get the bill directly or it's reflected in the mortgage payment to the bank. And so there is the visibility does, I think, sort of motivate a constituency and makes it harder for elected officials to raise taxes on homeowners.
Plus, if the system did change, there's no guarantee that landlords with lower taxes would actually pass the savings on to renters. Still, as Robinson, one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, gives a tour of his small studio apartment.
My humble abode.
He says it's time that renters started fighting for a fair share.
Somebody has to step up and say something. Either stand up for something or fall for anything.
If his building's property taxes were a little bit lower, he might even be able to rent his dream home, a one-bedroom. For WNYC, I'm Jessica Gould.